Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to bring you a message. Some of you just about know this by heart. But I'm going to remind you of it. Don't hurt us to be reminded of it tonight. And I'm going to be preaching a lot to the young people and about young people here in the next few months. It's the hardest time of the year to live right coming up, but the greatest time of the year is coming up, being our youth rally time. And we're going to look at tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to just bring out some things you all know. It's just like this. Everybody knows it's wrong to lie, right? I mean, everybody knows that's wrong to lie. But didn't that Sunday school class help you this morning? But it did me. It made me stop and think, man, you know, if I've been deceitful, something like that's wicked. That ain't right. You don't always tell a lie with your mouth. You live a lie. I mean, you can, you know, like this when you... when you're sitting around goofing off and your boss man comes in, then you act like you're working. You know, that's a lie. Well, when you start thinking about it, we're a bunch of liars. I'm telling you, and all liars have a part in the lake of fire. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus, ain't you? But see, we all know it's wrong to lie, but that lesson this morning just brought it out into our attention again. And you need to be reminded of things. I've done heard that. You need to be reminded of things over and over and over and over. So tonight, all you young people, listen to me. We got a good number of young people here tonight. Praise God. That's good. I praise the Lord for it. And we want to remind you, and I'm going to preach tonight on the Ten Commandments for teenagers. The Ten Commandments for teenagers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Now some of you have got these marked in your Bible, so we'll just go over them tonight. I'm not going to be long. We'll go over them real quick. 1 Timothy 4, 12. He's talking about, let no man despise thy youth. And some people will despise you just because you're young. You know, there's a lot of people who will be jealous of you, jealous of your youth and your smooth skin, enthusiasm, and energy, and you know, they will. Let no man despise you. How you gonna keep them from despising you? Is be an example of the believers in word. Act like you got some sense. Amen. You wanna be treated like an adult? Act like one. You wanna be treated like an idiot? Act like an idiot, and you get treated like an idiot. That's why people's in jail. You act like stupid, you get treated like you're stupid. It's not our fault. It's your fault. And the quicker you learn how to blame yourself for what you do wrong, the better off you'll do. So many young people, every time I meet them, nothing's ever their fault. They always blame, well, this and well, that, and my parents and my teachers and my that. Look, what you do wrong is your fault. Nobody makes you sin. Not even the devil. Amen? The devil, you do wrong because you choose to do something wrong. And the quicker you say, okay, I'm no count, I'm sorry, good for nothing, dog, it's my fault, the better off you'll be. He said, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, he says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That's a group of people that laid hands on him. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. To all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Years ago, I preached this message at youth camp, I think, and over the years, I brought it back up. And the Lord seems to have used it to help a lot of young people. And I say under 21, but I'm really talking about anybody here who's still in their youth. If you're especially not married, under the age of 30, really. I mean, you're an adult when you're 18, legally and all of that. But I know 30-year-olds that can still use what I'm going to. I know 50-year-olds that can still use and hear what I'm going to say tonight. So let's talk about this a little bit. I preached this in a Christian school up in... I think it was in Upper Virginia. I was in Maryland preaching. They took me to Virginia to preach. I don't know if it was across the line or not, but somewhere near the line there. And the kids got right with the Lord, and the Lord moved in there, and they were so impressed that they made a copy of these Ten Commandments and posted them on that school wall. And I'm thankful for that. Still there, as far as I know. It's a Christian school. And so I'm going to give them to you tonight. These are little rules that you need to learn how to live by. So everybody listen to me now, all you young people, and we got a lot of teenagers. If you'll listen to me, it'll help you to make the right choices. Life is made up of choices. And you wind up where you're going to wind up by the choices that you make. You'll see me wind up over at that chair. I choose to walk, see? I wound up over at this chair because I chose to walk over here. You know where you're at? You know why you're where you're at tonight? You chose to be there. Amen? You know why boys are out here in trouble? They chose to get out there. You know why a girl's in trouble? She chose to get out there. You make those choices. And you, with choices comes responsibility. When you make choices, you face the responsibility of those choices and the consequences. There's consequences to choices. And we all know that. But we seem like we sometimes make the wrong ones anyway. So let's think about this for a few minutes. Number one. You got it? If you want to write it down, here we go. There you go. That looks good. If you want to write it down, commandment number one. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. Now, I'm going to tell you, you better hear me. This Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Don't you come all spiritual to me and say, I'm right with God, when you are dishonoring your father and your mother. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You say, but my daddy's this and my mama's this. Listen, Jesus Christ's mother was a sinner and he honored her. And he was perfect. He was more right with God than his mama, but he still honored his mother. And listen, all you little ones here, listen, when your mama tells you something, you might not like it, you might not agree with it, but that Bible said God told you to honor your mother. God told you to honor your father. You don't always agree with them. You don't. I mean, you're going to disagree. It's okay. That's okay. But you still have to honor what they say. You tell a kid something, they'll say, do this. And they say, why? And you say, because I said so. And they say, but why? Let me tell you something. Your mom and daddy don't have to tell you why. You know what they tell you something? Because I'm the big person, you the little person. Amen? That's right. Or in some cases, I'm the elder and you're the younger. Some of y'all bigger than your mom and daddy. But listen, brother, listen, you hear me? Listen, when mom and daddy says something, they don't have to tell you why. But why? Because I said so. But why? Because, listen, you'd be better off if you'd just say, okay, I don't like it, but obey, honor your mother and your dad. Here's a girl comes in. She said, can I go out with so-and-so? No. And she goes, and goes in a room like this, and goes over in a room like that, you know, and goes into her bedroom, goes, boom, like that. Now, she has just proved she don't need to be going on no date. She don't need to be on no date. She needs to be in the nursery. Like she'd be on earth. So I could have a mean pacifier when I was a little man, them big babies. But I'm going to tell you something. She needs to be back in the nursery back there, sucking on a pacifier instead of saying, get your Barbie dolls back out and play with them instead of acting like a little brat. I mean, someone 16, 17, go in the room and beat their bed, you know, and do their fists like that. You need to honor your father and your mother. Amen. You fuss about them all the time. I had a phone call recently, and somebody told me, they said, preacher, I need you to pray for this family next door. I said, what's the problem? They said, this girl, I guess she's 12 years old, maybe 13, somewhere along in there. And they said, this girl came to my house, she was crying, please pray for this family. And I said, what's the problem? This person said, this girl came beating on my door saying, we're in a fight. Her and her oldest sister, which is about 25, her oldest sister watches her all the time. Her middle sister is about, 17. And those three girls live in that house. and one of the oldest girl's kids. I said, "Where's the daddy?" They said, "He's dead. He died several years ago. They wound up moving here from some other state." I said, "Where's the mama?" They said, "Mama is a crackhead. Mama's off on crack. They don't even know where she's at." And this girl, they get slapped around. Her braces have been on so long that they can't afford to take her to the dentist. And her braces have messed up her teeth. And her sister hit her in the mouth. And it caused her lip to start bleeding. And she come beating on her neighbor's door crying, 12 years old, and saying, "I don't want to tell on her, because if I tell on her, they'll put me in a foster home and I don't know where I'll go." And she told me if I told on her, she'd hit me even harder. And she said, "I'm scared to go home, but I don't want to get turned over to the DSS, and I don't want nobody to call them." And they asked me what I should do. I said, "Maybe you ought to call them. Maybe you ought to call them. Get her out of that mess." I said, "That's between you and God. I mean, you pray about it. But I tell you, if I know of a kid in a mess like that, I'd want to try to do something about it and help them out." And listen, you kids, some of you kids sitting here, now some of you might be going through something like that, but most of you are not. Most of y'all got parents that love you, parents that's good to you, and you gripe and you complain because they want you to clean your room, or because they tell you to be off the telephone at a certain time, or tell you to get your homework done, or because they make you come home by a certain time. I tell you what you better do. You better thank God in heaven that you've got a mom and daddy that cares enough about you to even care when you come home, to even care who you're out with, to care what... Listen, it's not fun for us parents to watch every move you make and throw here, ask you to do this. We'd rather just forget about it too. But we love you, and we don't want you to get in trouble, and we care enough about you, and you better honor your father and your mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. I got a letter from Carrie, and Carrie's sick today, and she never ever misses church. You know that. She told me she's real bad sick this morning, and she's sick tonight, and I carry it in my Bible. I've got it here somewhere, and I carry this letter in my Bible. I've read this in youth meetings across the country, and it says to my daddy. And Carrie wrote me this letter the day she got married. And Carrie wrote me this letter, and I'll not read it all to you. Some of you have heard it before. And she wrote me on the day she got married. She said, "Daddy, well, it's finally here. I want to start by saying I love you more than anything in the world. I know it's going to be hard on both of us." And it was. "But I really believe the Lord has sent Todd to me. Besides you, he's the next best thing. And I've told him that. I'm not going to take a lot of time because I know I feel about you. I think you're the greatest daddy anyone could ever had." I wanted you to hear that for sure. All kids ought to feel that way about their daddy. "Thank you for always teaching me to do what's right, being a good example for me and Chris and Corey. Thank you for always being there, anytime, day or night. I'm so glad that I have a dad who's kept me away from sin. There's been many times..." Listen, young people. She's late in her 20s now and married. Y'all want to wind up like she did? Listen. "There would be many times that I would be thinking about going somewhere, or maybe tempted to do something that I shouldn't do. And it seemed like always I would look at the clock, and it would be about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And I knew that you was in somewhere in some church getting ready to stand up and preach. I would sometimes think of you and of our good times and how hard you've tried to raise me right, and I wouldn't go or wouldn't give in." Now that's the right attitude for a kid to have. You shouldn't want to do wrong because it would break your mom and daddy's heart. You see, a kid's raised to honor their parents, and then as soon as they get big, that honor goes straight to God. A girl's always under her daddy's authority, and then when she gets married, she becomes under her husband's authority. That's why it's so dangerous for a girl to go off to college and live somewhere for 4 years. She don't have a daddy or a husband. She gets so independent and everything. When she comes back, she don't ever want to listen to no man again. Amen? And I've had them tell me that. Getting quiet in here. "Daddy, please don't ever think any different. You mean the world to me, no matter what. Raise Chris and Corey just like me. If anything, they need you. The one thing that I ask of you is that you'll come and see me a lot. I don't want us to ever grow apart. The best memories of my life are with you in the church. Every Sunday we're still going out to eat, okay? And any other time too, of course. Thank you for everything you've done to make my wedding day special. I feel like I'm the luckiest girl in the world to have you in my family. You will never, ever know how much you've taught me about life, decisions, God, dealing with things, just everything. I love you, Daddy, with all my heart. Love, Carrie. P.S. I didn't put this in the letter because you already know it, but I'm so glad that I've saved myself until this day. You've been right on everything you've ever told me. Just because I'm getting married doesn't mean we have to quit. You have to quit telling me things or giving me advice. Even Todd takes things and advice better from you than from anyone. And then she wrote a little bit more. And she still, to this day, before she buys a car, before she does anything, she'll say, "Dad, what do you think about this?" Listen, kids, I'd rather have that right there than a degree on my wall that she had graduated top of her class from Duke or UNC. I'd rather have that right there in my hand than to see her name on TV and where she's making $1 million for being in a movie. I would rather have that in my hand and know it come from her heart. And brother, if the other, I want a letter like that from the other two one of these days too. You know why? Listen, honor thy father and thy mother that your days may be long. You know why, love? I can't imagine. I cannot imagine you getting in your mom and daddy's face and saying, "Don't you, you aren't telling me what to do." If I'd have done that to my daddy, he'd have knocked me in the next week. Amen. Nowadays, little brat's going to say, "You're not telling me what to do. I'll call it." Listen, buddy, you are courting a tombstone. You are asking for an early death. These young people get killed all the time. You say, well, Brother Danny, my daddy's not like you. My daddy's a drunk, or my mom abuses us, whatever. Maybe they're not what they should be, but they are still your mother. They are still your daddy. She could have aborted you, but she didn't. She brought you into this world, wiped your snotty nose and other things. Amen? And brother took care of you and stayed up and rocked you at night while you was sick and had a fever. And brother, your mama took care of you. I believe tonight that every one of us, listen, I know they can get on your nerves. I know you sometimes you think they're wrong. I know, but you honor your mom and daddy. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'll never get to all these Ten Commandments, but I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart for a minute. People say, "But my mama's stupid." You better not let me hear you say your mama's stupid. You're the one stupid. Amen. Amen, brother. Listen, I can imagine. You get your own place. Pay your own bills. Buy your own car. Amen. Pay that light bill. Pay that phone bill. Listen, mom and daddy, to be so dumb, they sure got a way of putting that food on the table, you know, and keeping you in good clothes and stuff like that. They do pretty good to be so dumb, don't they? God have mercy on some of you kids here tonight, and young people. The way you treat your parents, the way you talk to your mama and daddy. It's a wonder to me God don't wipe you off the face of the earth. You ought to make up your mind tonight, I'm going to respect my mom and my dad. Amen. Amen. That's right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Okay? You say, "What if they don't know what you're talking about?" He didn't say honor your father and mother as long as they know what you're talking about. "What if they tell me to do something wrong, preacher?" Yeah, I don't try to use that. I'll guarantee you, if the truth is known, your mom and daddy ain't never told you to do nothing wrong. Somebody always says that, "Well, what if they tell you to drink beer when you're little?" I know there's cases like that. But don't use that for an excuse to keep from honoring your parents. Here's Jesus. Jesus Christ, He's God in the flesh. He's never sinned. He's never done nothing wrong. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. 12 years old. His mother comes in. "Jesus, honey, would you come in for a minute?" He's outside playing. He comes in there. "Yes, mother." Well, she says, "Jesus, would you clean your room?" Do you think he goes, "Ugh!" I got one here tonight that cleans her room like that sometimes. Here's the way they clean their room. This songbooks are clothes and nasty stuff. Clean. Y'all ever clean your room like that? Or they just pile it all up like that and throw it in the dirty clothes. It was dirty. If it don't take you but 2 minutes to clean your room, you're being rebellious. Jesus said, now, and listen, that's not honoring your parents. Just because you do what they say don't mean you're honoring them. It's like that little boy, mama said, sit down. He goes, ah. And I said, sit down. He goes, ah. Like that. And finally, she grabbed him and shut him down like that. She said, I'll make you. He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And that's the way some of y'all are, you know. I'm obeying you, and my heart's rebelling. Amen. I tell you what, boy, listen, honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus, she says, I need you to do something for me. He said, yes, mother. She says, Jesus, would you go down there at Mrs. Jones' house and borrow some milk? Miss Jones lived 2 miles away in those days. You had to walk in the sand. And Jesus is God, and He knows everything. And He knows Miss Jones ain't home. What about that? Whoa! See, He already knows she ain't home. And he's Mama, Miss Jones ain't home. He don't argue with her. What about that? Even if you know better than your parents, that's when it's hard, ain't it? He don't open his mouth. He just walks on down there, knocks on her door, turns around and walks back. Mama, I'm sorry she wasn't home. See, don't tell me that, but my mom and daddy's wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. Maybe they don't. Maybe you're right, they're wrong. Maybe you know better than they do. But that still don't give you no chance, opportunity to disrespect them.
Amen.
Amen. When they say, get off that phone, then off of the phone. When they say, clean the room, I know it's hard. Now, ain't no way you can do it unless you're right with God. Honor thy father and thy mother. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. Commandment number 2. I'll say this right quick. I'm going to give you a couple of these and I'll be through. Maybe we can finish them next Sunday night. Be smart and obey. You'll give orders yourself someday. Amen. It ain't going to be long at all. Y'all going to be in the driver's seat. You're going to be running the show. You're going to be telling things. So be smart and obey because you reap what you sow. I tell Carrie all the time. I used to tell her. She said, I said, now listen, you'll reap it. How you treat people, they're going to treat you like it one of these days. And when he was little, I'd say, obey, do what I say, do what I say. Daddy, 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 do what I say. Daddy, daddy, do what I say. One time we gave her a Sunday school class. I mean, she had a Sunday school class when she was about, I guess, 18 or 19. And we put her in a Sunday school class. Son, we put her in a little room with about 30 little toe heads about that tall. I'm telling you, you get 30 toe heads about that tall in a Sunday school class for 45 minutes. And it's hot in there, and it stinks, and they're crawling all over each other and whining and hitting each other and all that. She come out and she said, I'm going to kill one of them little brats. I said, I told you one of these days you'd be in charge and you'd want them to listen to you. Be smart and obey. You're going to be the one giving orders one of these days. And listen, if I put some of you in charge of the bus Friday night, from what I heard, we needed somebody on there to bust some heads. Didn't think I know, did you? You ain't going to hide nothing from the old man here. But by the way, parents always know what you do. Sometimes we just act dumb and act like we don't know because we feel sorry for you. That's true. But we know God's got a way of letting your parents find out everything you do wrong. Just because they ain't said nothing don't mean that they don't know about it. They might be just keeping quiet, giving you time to repent, hoping you'll straighten up. But if I put you in charge of the bus Friday night, you'd stand up there and say, shut up, you brat! What's wrong with you people? Don't ever take them nowhere else again. You know, be smart and obey. You're going to give orders yourself one of these days. Number 3. Commandment number 3. Stop and think. And you won't drink. Stop and think, and you won't drink. Drinking alcohol is one of the biggest mistakes that a young person can ever make in their life. Amen? Listen, brother, marijuana and all that stuff couldn't touch the damage that alcohol has done to this world. It's the biggest curse on this planet, brother, is alcohol. It'll kill you. You say, well, Brother Danny, you make me feel bad. I've done drunk and all that. Well, if you have, forget about it, repent of it, and don't ever put that stuff to your mouth again. Don't ever do it. Be a teetotaler. Somebody said, well, how can you knock it, preacher, if you don't do it? Have you ever been drunk? No, I haven't. Well, how can you knock it? I tell you, you don't have to try something to know it ain't good for you. When I was talking about drugs one time, the guy said, well, have you ever done it? And he said, no. Well, don't knock it till you've tried it. Have you ever put your head out there in front of an 18-wheeler truck? Don't knock it till you've tried it. Listen, fool. You're supposed to know that some things ain't good for you. That's right. You're a fool if you think. Bible said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Pass it up, boys. Pass it up. Pass the bottle. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Alcohol will rob you. You'll never have nothing if you start drinking. It'll take everything you've got. You won't be able to hold a job. You won't be able to have your license. You'll lose everything you got. It'll make you a red-faced, bleary-eyed, slobbering, staggering, stammering drunk. And it'll take your family and take everything you've got. Amen. It's a curse on you. You say, well, I can drink a little bit and it don't hurt me. You're crazy too. It starts winding its claws around you. It starts when you're 16, 17. You'll go out and have a few beers with the boys. Next thing you know, your body wants it. Here's the way it goes. Man take drink, drink take drink, drink take man. You listening? Man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. You can't handle it. It's bigger than you are. Bible said, woe unto him that puts a bottle to his neighbor's lips. The Bible said, wine is a mocker. It's a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Stop and thinking you won't drink. Listen, it's a mocker. God, you'll get in trouble. Young people are slaughtered on our highways every single weekend. Their blood spilled on the highways. Listen, don't get in a car with somebody drinking. Don't go nowhere with somebody drinking. You'll be sorry if you get hooked up with that stuff. You've heard me tell about it before. And I'll bring you this in another message. But when I was growing up, my dad was an alcoholic. My uncle used to get drunk and come to my house. And Mom would let him, he'd leave his wife and he'd come to my house. And Mom, you know, she couldn't turn him away. So she'd let him stay down in the basement. She said, well, I'd see my uncle there, and he'd come pass out down on the couch in our basement. Man, his office smell, beer and sweat, and nasty body that ain't been washed in a while, is the awfulest smell, all that three mixed together, and puke on to get on top of that. That's why they said the only fun that can stand to be around a drunk is another drunk. You can't stand and be around them. That's why everybody says, yeah, you come on and get drunk with us, man. We'll all get drunk. That's the one stand and be around a drunk. It's another drunk. Amen? Amen. Yeah, preach it, Brother Danny. One of my favorite poems. You want me to give you some poetry? One evening in October, when I was far from sober, I was carrying home a load with manly pride. My feet began to stutter, so I lay down in the gutter. And a pig came up and lay right down by my side. I said, it's fair weather when good fellers get together, till a lady passing by was heard to say, you can tell a man who boozes by the company that he chooses. And the pig got up and slowly walked away. Amen. Nobody can stand and be around a drunk but another drunk. Amen. You say, well, I'm daddy drunk. Yeah, I know, and they're sorry for it too. Well, anyway, my dad drunk, and I'd seen my daddy over the years. It take 15 years to get a hold of you just right. That's why alcohol. See, you can try crack or crank or some of that crystal meth and all that stuff. That stuff gets you just like that. But alcohol gets you slow. It takes years. But now, son, it's got you. It's got you. We got teenage alcoholics. There's alcoholics sitting here in this room here tonight. Your body craves it. And if you don't get out of business with God and do something about it and stay away from it, it will ruin you. Amen. Ruin you. It'll ruin you. And oh, my dad would get drunk, pass out. My daddy never missed work. Daddy never... My mom said Daddy'd walk home over in Clinksville, and she'd see him coming home from Clinksville Mill, probably 4 miles, walking in snow up to his knees. And didn't have a car in those days. I think, well, I was just a baby. And my daddy never missed work, and he got to where he's missing work because of his drinking. And he's laying in the bed, and I remember going in there after I got saved, Daddy'd be passed out in the bed, and I remember putting my hand on his ankle right there and just praying. And I said, God, please don't let Daddy die like this. Please don't let him die. And you know the story, how he got saved and everything. But because of that and my uncle, I was scared of it. And I was playing in a band over at the Marion Lake Club, and we'd have dances over at the lake. And I was the youngest one there because I was like 13. And the older boys in the band were 17, 18. And I was playing bass in that band. And I saw school teachers from Marion that you wouldn't believe. I could name names out there drunk, staggering around, and making fools out of themselves. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I mean, I was attracted to sin, but always in my head I said, not that. So one night I was coming home from a ball game. Me and these boys... And they was 18, 19, I think one of them was 20. I think one of them worked for the McDowell News, and I was in the back seat, and they was taking me home. And I was sitting in the back seat of that car, and about that time, they pulled out a six-pack of beer and started passing them around. And they passed him one. I went, uh-oh. And they handed me one, and I just reached out and took it like that. And I just looked at that thing. You say, why didn't you just hand it back to them? Didn't have enough guts. Didn't have enough guts. You know why every young person drinks? The pressure. Everybody else is doing it. And you feel the pressure. You'll go ahead and do it just because they're doing it. You don't want them to think you're a sissy. You don't want them to think you're less. You know what? I couldn't care less what they think about me now. Y'all worry too much about what people think about you. You say, well, you're too... You know what I think? I got a brain and you ain't got one. That's what I think. I think you ain't got a brain. And they handed me that beer. And everybody started opening theirs and I opened mine. And I looked at it. I never tasted beer in my life. I did. I tasted my uncle's. And he used to open his beer and put salt in it. You ever seen anybody salt a beer? God, it had salt laid on top of it. And he'd give me a taste of it one time. I about gagged. You don't like that stuff first time you taste it. You have to acquire a taste for it. God gives you a warning the first few times. You have to make yourself, and then you're hooked. So I took it like that, and every time they go, I go, act like I was drinking. I never took a sip of it. I just put my lips on it and be like that. And everybody started finishing up. I rolled my window down about that far and just threw the whole thing out the window like that and rolled it up real fast because I didn't want them to hear it hit the ground. Theirs went, ding, 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 ding. Mine went, boom. It was full, man. And you know what? I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. And I've had a lot to deal with. I mean, you know, I'm by no means perfect. Lord, sin has wrecked and scarred my life a lot. But I thank God tonight that I never drunk alcohol. With all my problems, I'd sure hate to worry about that. I know it's very unusual for me to just slow down and talk to y'all like this. But I'm just talking to you out of my heart, y'all. We love y'all. We love y'all. I love you. I pray for y'all many times just by name. There's a lot of you in here that I've prayed for today that God would speak to your heart. I ain't got time to get into all these tonight. I'm just going to stop. I know this ain't much. I'm sorry. But I tell you what, I love our young people. And I don't know what else to tell you except do right, do right. You say, well, Brother Danny, I fall. Well, get back up. I don't care if you fail a million times. Get back up. Rededicate your life. Keep trying. Don't give up. God will bless you for it. I want you to stand, bow your heads for prayer. They're coming to get us a song tonight. This Desi's going to play something softly. Maybe we'll finish next Sunday night. I don't know. Now, what I did last Sunday night is I got all the young people up here and I preached on the commandments to teenagers. Of course, this is for y'all, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, too. Kids are growing up a lot faster now than they used to because of all that stuff they put in that chicken at McDonald's. That's what I heard. That's right, man. All that stuff they shoot in that chicken, and you go eat all them chicken nuggets, and the next thing you know, you're a little lady when you're 11. And it's something sure doing it. I don't know what it is. Wendy's, McDonald's, all that stuff. You know what they feed them chickens? Dead chickens. They feed them chickens dead chickens, and then they shoot them with that stuff, and then we eat it. And you are what you eat. You're a dead chicken. That's why, if you are what you eat, I'd rather be a piece of steak than celery. You know? So you want to be a meatitarian. That's what you want to be, a meatitarian. That's right. That's right. If you want to be a piece of celery, the wind will blow you away. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight, and we're going to talk about these commandments to young people. And we done our best last Sunday night, and God really moved in here. And we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation." In conversation in the Bible means your lifestyle. It don't mean just what comes out of your mouth. That's the word before that. It says your word and your conversation. The way you conduct yourself. Be an example. In charity, in faith, spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. You been doing that? To exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I felt like last Sunday night that I was going to take a little while and bring you what I call the Ten Commandments for teenagers. See what happens to you if you don't do what you're supposed to? Get the fool beat out of you. We got started in them, and I only got to three. So what I'm going to try to do tonight is going this on. I don't think we'll finish, but I'd rather get it good and in your heart while we're doing it. So we may take next Wednesday night to get the rest of them. But I'm going to talk about tonight. What did I say? Now, you wrote these down last Sunday night. We talked in length. Number one, don't let your parents down because they brought you up. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. Any little brat who goes in the room kicking and screaming and kicking the side of the bed and beating on the bed with their fist is not the Christian that God wants them to be. You cannot come to church and act all spiritual and act like you're right with God and then go home and dishonor your parents. We talked about that. Then I talked about being smart and obey because you're going to give orders yourself someday. Remember that? And then the third one was stop and think and you won't drink. And I took a whole few minutes and talked about the dangers of drinking alcohol. And I hope every one of you has made up your mind that you will never, ever, ever put alcohol to your lips. No, not one time. And if you have, you'll ask the Lord to forgive you and never do it again. Amen? You cannot, down just a hair, Brother Mike, you cannot drink alcohol and it not little by little get a hold of your life. It's impossible. It's a bigger demon than you realize, than you can do anything with. So I talked about stop and think and you won't drink. That's as far as we got. Now tonight we're going to continue with commandment number 4. If you're writing these down, girls, ready? Here we go. Commandment number 4 is this. Show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. Now, I'm going to talk about your driving just a little bit tonight. On this next commandment, every teenager cannot wait until they get their license, driver's license. The day I turned 16, my mama took me down yonder to the little examining board down there in Marion. And I could not wait. I couldn't wait till Thursday. Couldn't wait till Friday. On my 16th birthday, mom took me down there and I said, I've got to have my license. Of course, I've been driving since I was 8 or 9 years old. And I think every kid should. I know some of you parents disagree with me on that, but I think they need to learn how to drive. You don't learn how to drive in driver's ed, right? That's right. Daddy set me on his knee when I was about 8 or 9 years old. He'd say, now hold it in the road, son. We'd be going down the road like that. And that's how I learned how to drive. Plus go-karts and bicycles and motorcycles and stuff like that. I think it's a big mistake for a girl or a boy, but especially a girl, to grow up 15 years old and never has been behind the wheel of a car, and then put her in there and set her in a class for a few weeks and let her take a test and give her a license. That's crazy. That's crazy. All three of my girls could drive by the time they was 12 and 13 and 14. I let Carrie drive a long way back from Florida when she was 14. And you say, well, Brother Dan, whatever. I know it ain't right, but I don't want them to get killed. I want them to learn how to drive, man. A car is not a toy. A car is nothing to play with. A car is not. You boys are crazy when you get out here and say, man, I'm 16. I seen one coming out of the high school parking lot yesterday. I was coming back from Rutherfordton down at that high school down there. I believe it's RS Central. And this boy come out in a white Mustang. And he come out like this. And he went, and it was fishtailing up the road like that. And I thought, what a dumb young'un right there. He thinks because he's 16 years old that he can control that car. But a big old 3,000 or 4,000 pound vehicle is nothing to mess with. You better respect that thing, and you better learn that when you show off driving, then it's juvenile. Don't act your age. They tell me that if you took an average size car, or a smaller car, like a Honda Civic, the size of a Honda Civic. Girl told me yesterday on bus route, she said, I want a blue Honda Civic. I said, okay. She's just about 11, 12 years old, but that was her dream car. Did you know if you took a blue or any other color Honda Civic and you could run it through this building tonight at 100 miles an hour? Let's just say you come that way and you went right through this building at 100 miles an hour. That at 100 miles an hour, a Honda Civic, that size of a car, weighs 27 pounds. That's what's the weight going down the ground. If you could fly through here, I could take my foot and kick it off the highway if I could time it right. And I don't know if you've ever been 100 miles an hour, but I have with some wicked person else driving. I've been 100 miles an hour lots of times because the ox is in the ditch and I had to get it out. But did you know what? I mean, when you get up about 100 miles an hour, it feels like you're just kind of just hitting the high spots. You ever been 100 miles an hour? Yes, sir, buddy. I remember these boys picked me up at the movies one night in Marion, and they was going to take me home, and they was mad at their girlfriends. The reason their girlfriends was my two sisters. And they were both mad at each other, and they was fighting with their girlfriends, and they was flying down the road, and they was coming down that straight up there before you get to where Hoppy Tommy is, right down through there, and that thing went 100, 105, 110, and I was sitting in the back just like this, and I thought, Lord, I wasn't saved, man, I was scared to death. I was about 14, and buddy, it was scary. They took us and let us out, and they went up on the mountain and wrecked that night, like to kill one of them. But listen, a car ain't nothing. That boy's getting mad. He's going to drive fast when they're mad. That ain't nothing to play with, man. That ain't nothing to joke around with. Show-off driving is juvenile. You can get yourself killed just like that. You can get yourself mangled for life in a wheelchair, neck broke. Don't get out here and say, listen, tires cost too much to get out here and burn rubber. Gas is too high. To wind it out in every gear. It's too high. Now, you girls have another problem with driving. And it's not speeding. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's thinking, I reckon. I mean, because all of them, all girl driving, I'm not making fun of you girls, because you can do a lot of things better than boys. A lot of girls do a lot of things better than boys. But when it comes to driving, man, you all got blonde roots. And every one of my girls hit something. One of them, I believe it was Corey, when she first got her license, she took that Jetta sitting out there and backed into the carport.
into the carport, man. And then I think Carissa hit somebody's car out in the driveway. And I think Carrie, she run the ditch one night, her and Shelly. And every single one of them, she was drunk, so she... But did you know, girls do like this. Hear about that girl? She was driving up the wrong side of the road. And the cop stopped her and he said, "Now listen, ma'am, you can't drive over here." And she said, "But officer, the other side's full of cars." That's what girls' problem is, driving. One girl pulled up to this parking place one time and a cop stopped her and he said, "Ma'am, you can't park here." And she said, "Right there's a sign that says fine for parking." That's right. Listen, brother, that's a girl. You know about that one girl? She sat in the car wash for about 2 hours waiting on it to quit raining so she could get home. I'm telling you, brother, I'm telling you, there's something else. I'm telling you. That's awful, ain't it? That's awful. That's awful. But I got my license when I was 16, but I think honestly they ought to raise it. I really do. I know y'all mad at me for saying that, but that's why our insurance is so high. Because most of the wrecks, 16, 17, I mean, if you ain't even old enough to vote, or if you ain't even old enough to do certain other things, you ain't old enough to drive a car. But, I mean, that's the law, and we go by it. But anyway, you show off driving is juvenile. I've known many a young man who's went out showing off in a car, trying to prove he's a big, tough guy. And by the way, you don't have to drive tough to prove you're tough. You don't have to have a bad car to prove you're bad. If you have to have a bad car and spin out to make somebody think you're something, you ain't nothing. I know boys that think I have to have a bad car so the girls will like me. I'd hate to think that the only way I could get a girlfriend is have a big souped up bad car. If I get this thing and I squall out, she'll like me. Yeah, and know what? Somebody else come along with a faster car than you got, and she'll be off with them somewhere. A bad car don't make you bad. Let's just say tonight that I drove in out there in a 1971 Volkswagen Beetle Bug, 36 horsepower. And I come there, down the road, and I pulled in there. And then I come over here, and I tried to lift up this organ with one hand. I couldn't do it. Now, let's take me out there and put me in a brand new 5.0 Mustang 05 with all the trimmings, man, the hood scoop and everything. And I come slide through the parking lot sideways. Doing 120 miles an hour all the way down here, then can I walk over and pick up that organ? It don't make me a bit tougher. I am not a bit stronger. I am not a bit better. And I ain't a bit better looking. It ain't no wonder some of them tint their windows. Amen. They'll think, "Boy, she can barely see me. She'll think I'm good looking." Amen. I'm telling you what tonight, brother. Listen, a bad car don't make you bad. It'll make you look stupid. It'll break your neck. It'll get you in trouble. But it don't make you a bad boy. Amen. That's right. Now I tell you, I think there's nothing wrong. If you got a big open road and you go fast, that's okay. But doing stupid stuff, driving on the wrong side of the road, sliding around, squalling out, listen, you're crazy, buddy. You're crazy. You're gonna get yourself in a wreck. I know young men that I went to school with that are no longer on this earth. They're no longer here. They're dead and in the grave in heaven or hell because they thought a car was a toy. I knew of a young man who went out one night, four of them, got killed in a car wreck in one night. Went around the curb, couldn't make the curb, in the ditch. It happens all the time. Happens every single weekend in this country tonight. I think it's the number one major killer of teenagers in this country is car accidents. You do not get out and act a fool in a car. It is not a toy. Show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. That's commandment number four. All right. Now we're going to get down the nitty-gritty now. Commandment number five. Here we go. Commandment number five. Choose a date fit for a mate. Choose a date fit for a mate. Y'all caught hot, cold? Choose a date fit for a mate. I'm going to tell you something tonight. What I just said would be worth $1 million to y'all one of these days. That means don't let yourself start liking somebody that you wouldn't consider marrying. I had a girl tell me, she said, "What do you think about our so-and-so?" "Oh, I'm just dating him. He's a lot of fun." I said, "Y'all going to get married?" "Oh, no, God. There's no way I'd marry him." Well, listen, nut. You know what makes people get married? Fall in love. You know how you fall in love with somebody? Spending time with them. talking to them, being around them. You're fixing to mess up. And I'll tell you, if you want to find out what he's going to be like, look at his daddy. He's going to look like him, and he's going to act like him. I can't hear you. Lord, y'all are quiet tonight. You say, but he's cute now. Yeah, I know. Lord, have mercy. I've been pastoring a long time. And I've seen them girls, many of them, teenage girls, up at New Manna for 25 years nearly, brother. And they'd come in, you know, and they'd get all on fire for God, and they'd love the Lord, and a smile on their face. And then all of a sudden, one day, they come in and something stuck to them. And there it is. And they come dragging it in. And that Sunday, they don't sit where they used to sit. They'll sit way back yonder somewhere. Because he don't feel comfortable. And he don't want to come to Sunday school. No, no. I mean, he wants to come and sit way in the back. And he's stuck to her like that. I mean, he looks about like that microphone stand right there. I mean, skinny as a rail. I mean, his legs look like a rope with a knot tied in them. That's what my daddy used to say. I mean, brother, he got the fro and everything. Just like that right there. And boy, they said that fella, he had to tease a hair on his leg, get his socks to stand up. I mean, he got zits all over his face. He's got bumps all over it. He's uglier than a mud fence. I mean, he looks like Marilyn Manson's twin sister. And boy, she comes in and says, "Ain't he cute, preacher?" And you about throw up. How in the world some of you girls could think them boys y'all bring in here is cute is honestly beyond me. But say, look at him, ain't he? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And the bad thing about it is, he's at his peak. That's the best that feller's ever going to look. Look at his daddy. And you'll see him in about 7 or 8 or 9 years. Choose a date fit for a mate. I like what that old black lady said at the wedding. The preacher said, "You take him for better or worse." And she said, "Lord, preacher, he can't get no better. And ain't no hope of him getting no, he ain't going to get no worse. I just take him as he is." That's the way it's supposed to be. Choose a date that's fit for a mate. Years ago, there's a girl lived down below me, and she lived about as far as from here to, I don't know, halfway to Ingles down there. We don't have neighbors. You know, go down the driveway and down the road a little bit. She lived down there. And one day, my phone rang. And it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And she comes and she said, Daddy, can you come down here? Please. I said, "Debbie, what is wrong with you?" She's about 18, and I said, she said, there's a mouse in here. She said, "Please come down here." I said, "It ain't going to hurt you." She said, "Will you come down here? Please, come down here." And I said, "All right." So I walked down there, and it was a hot day, and I walked down there and walked in there. And boy, I mean, this girl was up on the furniture, man. She's up on the couch going like this. She said, "It's in here somewhere." She said, "I know it's in here somewhere." And I said, "Well, where'd it go?" She said, "I don't know. It's under the bed." So I got the broom, and I was under there, and I saw her. I was sticking it up under the bed like that, you know, trying to find it, and gouging up under there, and looking underneath here, looking underneath there, you know. And I stuck it in the closet. She had about 30 pairs of shoes in there, all of them. You know how girls are. They think they got to have a pair of shoes for every different single outfit. So I stuck it in there, and that thing went across the room. She jumped like that. And boy, I went across the floor, just hit me like that with that broom. And I smacked him like that in the living room floor. And it didn't kill it. And he just rolled on. He just started kicking like that right there. And I opened the front door and knocked him out in the yard. And she went, "Oh, thank you." I thought she was going to have a heart attack. And so I give her a broom back and I said, "I'll see you later." And I walked back up the driveway. And while I was walking back up the driveway, I thought thereon and thereby and wherewith and wherewithal. And cut wisdom under the sun. And I was going up the driveway and I was thinking, you know what? I've seen that same girl with a great big Camaro pull up in the driveway with tires on it about that. Well, he's jacked up like that. He's going downhill everywhere he went. He's jacked up like that. And that thing pulled up in the yard going, and the horn blow, and a big old thing sitting in there with hair out like that. I don't know what it was. And I've seen her of her own free will walk out there and get in the car with that thing. She'd scream at a mouse and climb in a car with a wolf. You know what's wrong with her? She needs to be locked up for a while until her brain kicks in. You choose a date that's fit for a mate, girls. And you know what I tell these girls all the time, and I've always told them, I've always beat it into my girl's head, and I know you can't choose. Eventually, they're going to make a choice of their own, and all of y'all eventually are going to make a choice who you marry and all of that, and I can't, we won't be able to choose that for you. We're not Old Testament. We're not Abraham. We're not able to do that like they were in the Old Testament, but I'm going to tell you, you better hear me, and you better hear me good. I don't want, you know what I've always told my girls? I said, I don't want y'all to go through what I've had to go through. I don't want y'all to suffer the heartache and the disappointment, and I don't know if you can take it or not, all the problems and stuff that I've suffered and been through. You better choose somebody, find somebody that's more spiritual than you are, that you won't have to drag. If the girl shouldn't be more spiritual than the boy ought to be more spiritual than the girl. Say amen right there. Now, I know what you girls are thinking. Where are they? So I've had girls in this church tell me that. Say, Lord, brother, you show us one more spiritual than us. And that is a good question. I know you boy girls are all walking around saying, I want a spiritual boy. Where they at? Where they at? I know you all want to know that. I heard that when I was playing ball. They played up there all the time. Some idiots on there saying, wanting somebody like that. But I tell you what you need to do. You better find one that's more spiritual than you are. Amen? Remember the illustration I gave you? Look at here. Let me find somebody that's stronger than me. Come up here, Kevin. He's stronger than me. Of course, smell ain't everything. Right up. Now look. Now wait a minute. You get up here. You get up here. Now, he's stronger than I am. No doubt. Them big old arms, he's probably stronger than me. Now, but you think I can pull him down or he can pull me up? Even though he's stronger than I am. It'd be easy for me to pull him down. It would be men pull me up. Amen. Now, some of you, listen, the more spiritual one's up here and the less spiritual one's down here, but still, the weaker is going to win because gravity's on my side. The world's pulling him down, see? And I can pull him down a whole lot easier than he can pull me up. Now, you go out with somebody, just stay out there just a second. You go out with somebody and you're this high spiritually and they're about high full of the devil, the world will pull you down. The world will pull you down a whole lot easier than you can pull them up. Am I right, mamas and daddies? I mean, all you people, y'all people that's been with me for years and years, y'all know, we've seen it and we've seen it and we've seen it and we've seen it, and there's thousands of girls out there tonight with a baby on each hip, sitting in a trailer park somewhere, wondering where he's at, what he's doing, and they thought how cute he was, how sweet he was, and now they can't trust him out of their sight. You better find you one that's more spiritual than you are. I'm telling you. You say, but I love him. Well, you can get over it. You sure can. Okay. You can come on down now. See? Watch. See how I can pull him down? Did you know what? Yeah, listen. You can find yourself a date that is fit for a mate. If the only reason he comes to church is just for you, he ain't much to start with. Amen. Say amen right there. Say amen, folks. That's the truth. It's the truth. Same way with a girl. The only reason she's coming to church is just to see a guy. She's not what she needs to be anyway. She needs to come to church because she loves Jesus and serve God because she loves the Lord and do right. And brother, choose a date that's fit for a mate. If you want to know what she'll turn out like, look at her mama. She'll be just like her or worse. Unless God does something for her. A boy will be just like his daddy or worse. Unless God does something for him. And sometimes God does something for him. If God does something for him, now anybody can be spiritual. But in case he don't, they ain't going to be no better than their daddy or their mama. Choose a date that's fit for a mate. Amen? I mean, get you one that'll work and got a job. Everywhere I go, I see these girls pull up in these little Hondas and their boyfriends sitting over there just laid back like that. And some daddy paying the payments on that thing. She gets out and puts in the gas and goes and gets the beer and brings it out. And that big old lazy dog laying there. Well, I mean, if I seen one of my girls, Lord have mercy. They'd probably have me in jail for murder. I'm telling you tonight, brother, I mean, get you a boy that'll take care of you. Don't get you one that says, well, you pay for it this time and I'll pay for it next time. He's the boy. He's supposed to pay for it. He's supposed to pay for everything. Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. That's right, brother. He's supposed to treat you like a queen. Amen. This girl come up to me one time out of Sunday school class. She was 14. She said, "I need to ask you a question, preacher." And I said, "What?" And she said, "I've got a problem with my boyfriend." I said, "What do you do if they hit you?" I said, "Well, take your two fingers like that right there and aim them toward his eyeballs." Really? Listen, a boy that would hit a woman or a man who would physically abuse a woman ain't fit to have no girlfriend or no wife. That's right, brother. That's right. Go pick on, well, I started to say your own size, but pick on somebody your own gender. She's probably bigger than you in some cases. Now, I'm going to tell you how you know if you're ready to date, girls. You say, "Mama won't let me, and all everybody else gets to." That's not true. Every kid says that to make their parents feel guilty. Every kid says everybody else gets to, and that's not true. Everybody else does. Some get to. Quit lying. Some get to. Here's the way you know if you're ready to date. Let me ask you these questions. Do I love my parents and show it? Do I love my parents and show it? If you don't, you ain't no ready to be no dating. You ought to be back in your room playing with Barbie dolls and praying and asking the Lord to help you love your mom and daddy. Number two, am I gone too much? Am I mature? Do I throw temper tantrums? Do I walk to the house like, "Don't clean your room. I'm going. Can you hear me in here? I'm locking myself out. Okay. All right. You know, if you act like that, I was going to do the rest of this by satellite in there. Did you? If you act like that, you ain't got no business out no date. What you talking about? Here we go. Do I say things I don't mean? Like, "I hate you and I wish you was dead." Lord, have mercy. You need your rear end beat if you talk that way to your parents. Any child. Listen, I ain't never said nothing like that to my mom and daddy. When I was lost in sin, I never said nothing like that to my mom and daddy. Boy, my daddy would have knocked my head off. My daddy was raised in West Virginia, and he didn't whip as much, but he was the type, he lost his, I mean, they'd backhand you across the wall, man, or knock you in the next week. Now, I know people say that's child abuse, but brother, we're living in a generation of kids. I've seen kids, I've been with them out to eat in revivals, and the teenager said, "Daddy, go here, daddy, go there. I don't want to go here, I don't want to go there." I thought, Lord, first of all, that little brat needs their mouth to shut up with duct tape. I mean, listen, it's your mom and daddy's decision where you go and where y'all eat, and it ain't yours, you little brat. Keep your mouth shut and do what you're supposed to as a kid. They're paying the bills, they're buying the car, they're putting gas in it. Your kid ain't supposed to run the household. You know what it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be daddy here, mama here, kids here. Daddy runs the household, mama's subjection to daddy, kid. You know what? That thing's turned completely around. Kids are in charge, mama's a close second, and poor old daddy's way down here at the bottom and better keep his mouth shut or he'll be sleeping on the couch another 3 or 4 weeks. You know that's the truth. I've been out with preachers and the kid in the back say, "But I don't want it. Daddy, turn the heat up. Daddy, turn the heat down." And mama say, "Now, honey, let's do that. Honey." And she puts the pressure on daddy to obey the kids. Well, I don't know how I got off on all that, but I mean, you know how it is going, you know, kids go out to eat, parents go out to eat nowadays, say, "Where do you want to go eat? Steakhouse? You want to go fish camp?" What are kids in the back seat say? "McDonald's! McDonald's! McDonald's!" You know where they wind up, don't you? That's right. And if they do wind up in a fish camp, they come in with them McDonald's bags. Well, they had to go there first for about 30 minutes. Listen. Do I say things I don't mean? Do I obey instantly? Here's your question to ask, see if you're ready to date. Do I try to see their side? Do you try to see your parents' side? All the time teenagers tell me, saying, "But mama don't understand me." You ever tried to understand her? She don't see your side? You ever tried to see hers? Guess what? We got to jump on you. We've already been where you've been. I've been there. I know what you're feeling, how you think. And you've never been where we've been. You've only been where you've been. We've been where we've been, where you ain't been. You ain't never been where we've been. You just been where you've been. And you ain't never been where you ain't been, so keep your mouth shut and listen. Somebody's been where you ain't been. Do I try to see their side? Next, do I pray for them? Is my heart right towards my family? Show me who to date, girls. And I'm telling this mostly the girls because y'all are going to have to make up your mind. Boys are so sorry. They're a dime a dozen, and you girls are going to have to set the standards and the rules. So here we go. Here we go. Here's something to make up your mind to do. I will not date a boy. And a date is a planned or prearranged time spent with the opposite sex. It does not necessarily mean you're in a car by yourself alone. If they say, we're going to come over and we're going to watch TV or whatever, time to get, that is a date. It sure is. That's the definition of the word. Let me clear up something else right here. I hear these kids nowadays saying, I hear them 14, 15 saying, I'm single now. What does that mean? You nut? Of course you're single. If you're not married, you're single. Where'd that come from? Say, well, I broke up with my boyfriend, I'm single. You were single when you had him, nut. If you got a boyfriend, you're still single. There ain't no ring. There ain't no papers at the courthouse. You're not mad. He don't own you. He don't have a right to tell you nothing. I heard girls tell me, he said, well, my boyfriend don't want me to do this. And he told me I couldn't speak to no other guys. And he said, well, you tell him to jump in the lake and swallow a snake and bless God, come back up with a bellyache. He ain't got no right to tell you what to do. I can't believe these girls. They'll do everything he says before they're married. As soon as they get married, they're rebellious. I mean, Lord, they won't do nothing. But before they're married, yes, honey, I promise. I'll come straight home. I'm not going to do too much makeup. Oh, I'll take it off. Is my dress too short? Lord have mercy. He ain't your daddy. He don't have a right to tell you what to do. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right. So if you ain't married, you are single. Amen. Think about these old redneck girls I seen in the trailer park here not long ago. I ain't going to tell you what they said. It's awful. To me, it's awful. Here we go. I will not date a boy, girls, who is, number one, not saved. I'll not date a boy who's not saved. Period. I don't care if he's Brad Pitt and Pitt Face and Rocky. One of my girls likes Brad Pitt, another one likes Rocky. I don't care if he's them two mixed up together. If he ain't saved, tell him to take a hike. You say, but I've had girls tell me, I said, is he saved? They said, well, I think he is. What do you mean you think he is? You better? Well, how am I going to ask him? You embarrassed to ask somebody they know your best friend? You say, well, I might scare him off. If that scares him off, scare him off. Talking about Jesus scares him off. He needs to be off. Amen. Say, you have been saved, ain't you? And if he says anything but yeah, then you say, well, come back and see me sometime when you know you're saved. I will not. It's crazy. Did you know if a child of God marries a child of the devil, that you'll have the devil as your daddy-in-law? The Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You're not supposed to. You say, well, I'm not going to marry. That's how you get married. You start dating. You start dating, then you get married. Listen, brother, you hear me tonight. I will not date a boy who is not saved. Number two, I will not date a boy who don't go to church. And I mean regular. Don't fool with a guy that don't go to church. He ought to read the Bible, and you ought to ask him Bible questions, and him answer your Bible questions. That's right, brother. I mean, listen, a boy gets saved, he gets in the book, and he just grows by leaps and bounds, and a lot of the girls are more heart-like, and they love the Lord and love the Lord. But guys get doctrine and stuff in their head, and he ought to be able to help you learn and understand the Bible. I'll not date a boy who don't go to church. A good church. You say, well, he goes to first. That don't count. A good church. Number three, I will not date a boy who has bad character. I will not date a boy who has a bad character. Now, let me understand. Let's make sure you understand what I'm saying. You know what your character is? Is your base. We're all sinners. We all got bad points. We all got wickedness. Our flesh is wicked and all that. But the basic character of a person ought to be they're a good person that loves God. Honest. In other words, if you pull up to McDonald's and you get the drive-thru and they give you too much change or something like that, does he stick it in his pocket? That'd tell you a lot about somebody. Basically an honest person. Or do they give it back? Am I right? You better watch them people's dishonest character. Right by reflex is what that means. I will not date a boy who drinks alcohol. Period. No way, no shape, no form. That much, that much, that much. By the glass, by the thimble full. No alcohol. You don't want to wind up in a marriage with somebody drunk. I guarantee you there's women in here tonight that's lived with an alcoholic husband that could tell you girls it's a nightmare. It's your worst nightmare. They lose their job. You can't pay the bills. They stick up and afraid you're going to drop a cigarette and burn the house down. You will not date a boy who drinks alcohol. None of that. Number five, I will not date a boy who encourages me to rebel against my parents. Don't fool the guy that says, "Oh, I know your mama said this, but let's do this. And we'll tell her we had a flat." That's the oldest thing in the book. We'll tell them we had a flat. There's more tires goes flat. Out there on Friday night. Or we got stuck in traffic. My cell phone wouldn't work. It just wasn't picking up. It never picks up when they're somewhere they ain't supposed to be. I don't know what. I just didn't hear it rain. Getting quiet in here. Getting quiet in here. Preach a little louder. If a boy says, "Hey, I don't care what your mama says. She says, gotta be home by 11 o'clock. Let's go ahead and do it. You better stay away from that character. You better say, hey, get one that says, listen, I'm going to respect your mama. If your mama says it, we're going to try to go by it. Amen. I tell you what, my girls ain't going to mess with nobody that disrespects me. Because if they'll stab me in the back, they'll stab them in the back. Number six or seven, whatever it is, I will not date a boy who is not manly. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll preach on that a little bit. Amen. I mean, Lord have mercy. Do I have to say that? Girls, come on. I don't understand a girl that likes a boy who just says, I'm just so glad to be here. You know. Listen, girls, if he's that way, you better leave him alone. You better leave him alone. And you can tell by looking at him. I don't know how they do it, but they just got this walk. They just got this walk, man. And it's just and I don't know, you can tell it. It's in their voice. Ugh. Someone said, "I'm just so mad I can squeeze a grape." I would not date a boy. I wouldn't date a boy that wore more jewelry than I did. Boys with jewelry. I ain't got none except my watch, but I'm telling you, I seen the other day earrings in both ears. Do they honestly think they're pretty? Well, they do get in the mirror and think how pretty I am, you know, and wear makeup. Lord have mercy, it's a man. You'll be opening the door for him in the car. And when it rains, you know, you'll do this over the mud puddle so he won't get his sneakers dirty, you know, and all of that. You will not date a boy who is not manly. Or get your man, brother. Feel your arms right here and see, they're harder. Yours is real soft, you know. If his is soft, you better leave him alone. You better leave him alone. I'm telling you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Get one that gets dirty, that ain't scared to get dirty, and get down in the mud and get his fingernails dirty, brother, and get grease underneath that. Get a boy that don't have to take a bath every day. Amen. Hey, listen, man, you don't have to take a bath every day. A boy needs to get nasty. So I'm not married. It don't matter. Amen. I mean, I can go days at a time. You'll never know the difference. I just spray a little cologne over it. Nobody never know the difference. No, that's not true. I tell you what. We used to go to camp. We used to go to camp. Y'all, he knows. Roy Lee knows. These boys know. Dan knows. Right? We didn't have nowhere to take showers for a whole week. Am I? That's true. Son, I went all week long without taking a shower. They ain't nowhere to take one. You can't go in the girls. Some nut made the rules. We can't go over there. That's me. And then they ain't nowhere in the boys. Can't go in the kitchen. So we took a bar of soap and every day just run out there and jumped in the lake like that and go up and soap their hair up, you know, and everything. And then just dive in. I'd get out and soap up real good. Soap up and then dive in. We'd do it about 12 o'clock at night. And that'd be our bath for the day. Ain't no use taking a bath. No, he's just going to be sweating again in about 2 or 3 minutes. I worry about these boys. They used to come down to camp from up north and say, oh, it's hot. I'm sweating. Oh, I think, look, man, look, you're a boy. Snakes, snails, puppy dog tails, all that kind of stuff. You're supposed to sweat. You're supposed to sweat. Good night. I will not date a boy who is not manly. And then I want to say another thing. I'll not date a boy who don't treat his parents right. Because however he treats his mama, you check him out now. How he treats his mother is how he's going to treat you. Are you listening to me, girls? If he badmouths his mama, he's going to talk to you the same way. Are you listening to me? How he treats you? I know some of you don't like that. It's not my fault, brother. It ain't my fault. I'm preaching you the truth. I'm telling you, however he treats his mama is how he's going to treat you. I'll not date a boy who cannot control his temper. You say, well, he hit me that one time and he promised he'd never do it again. Don't you believe that? He did it once, he'd do it again. That's like him get drunk. Every time I get drunk, I'm never going to do it again. You know, and then she's all right. She unpacks her clothes, and he does the same thing. Y'all, help me with all this noise in here. Close some doors. Get the duct tape out. Do something. We got too much noise in here. Listen, I'll not date a boy who cannot control his temper. Next, I'll not date a boy who will not accept me as I am. You watch out, he's always trying to change you. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? I don't like this. I don't like that. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do this, do that. Say, why don't you find somebody that's like that? Amen. Amen. I mean, he's got something to say about everything. He don't like your hair. He don't like your clothes. He don't like the way you talk. He don't like the way you say this. He don't like the way you look at that. He don't like the way you do. Well, say, duh, go find you somebody that is like that. If I ain't what you want, say amen right there. He accepts you as you are. By the way, you ain't going to change nobody. The real you is going to come out sooner or later. If you change to get a guy, you can't fake it forever. The real you is going to come out. It might be a year or two after you're married, the real you is going to come out. You might as well be just you and say, if you want me this way, if you don't, it's all right, because this is the way I am and this is what I'm going to wind up being. Amen. Now, I've had other people ask me, what about, I think you ought to date somebody that's your own color, that's your own background. I'm not a racist. If you think I'm a racist, you're crazy. I'm just saying the more differences you have, the more opportunity that there is for problems later on down the road. Amen. Don't get mad at me tonight. I'm trying to help these kids. You're a whole lot better off. Get somebody your own background, your own denomination even, your own culture. Amen? If you marry a Catholic, you marry a Jehovah, you're going to have problems from day one, fussing and arguing over what you're going to do. What church you going to, how you going to teach the kids? How you going to raise them? Over this, over that. You're going to have problems like you wouldn't believe. You can't live off love, like I say. Amen? Lord, there's a lot of stuff I could say there, but I'm gonna say a couple more things here and I'm done. Don't go steady until you're ready. We had a girl come to church one time. Two of them, matter of fact. They got right with the Lord. They was about 16 years old. And boy, they got on fire for the Lord. And they sit up right near the front like these girls are. And they sit there every service just like this. And it was just eating it. Everything I'd say is just like little birds, you know, in a nest. They're just grabbing it. Just eating it up. Just eating it up. Loving it. Loving it. And one of them, I think, was 16 or 17. And it wasn't long till she came in and something was on her arm there. And he sat there like... And she's still going like this, you know. But he's sitting there like... No response. I've been doing this a long time, and I can tell a whole lot about a person by the way they respond to preaching. Freddie Reed, y'all, some of y'all know Freddie Reed. He was dating this girl out in Texas one time, and I was going out there to preach a revival. And Freddie's dating this girl, and he said, I don't know if we're supposed to get married or not. She wanted to get married, and he said, I don't know if we should or not pray about it. And you know what he told her? He said, there's a redneck preacher coming out here from North Carolina named Danny Castle. He said, if you like his preaching, I'll marry you. I didn't even know it. He said, if you don't, I'm going to... He was judging their whole relationship on whether or not she liked the way I preached. Evidently, she must not have liked it. Because they didn't make it. But you know what? That may sound dumb, but there's a lot of sense in that. You can tell a lot about somebody by how they respond to preaching. You really can. Even if they're living, even if they ain't living right, they'll sit there. I mean, you know what I mean? They'll take it. They'll take the truth. They respond to it. If God's in there, you get a response to the truth. This girl came. This boy was a football player. Next thing you know, she was sitting near the back. And when I preached, she was looking at me like this. She was like this. You know, just innocent. Just our head, man, just taking it in. Then she started looking like this. And you know what's happened when they start looking like that, don't you? Yeah, you do. You know what's happened when a girl sits in church and does like this, you know what's happening. She's sinning. She's sinning. And her conscience is bothering her. And then one day, her sister called me and she said, Brother Danny, she said, I don't want nobody to know this. Please pray. And she called her sister's name and she said, she's pregnant. And she said she's going to Asheville to have an abortion. And she missed 2 or 3 days of school and told everybody she went to visit her aunt or something like that. She is a cheerleader. He is a football player. Classics. Standard story. Happens all the time. And let me say this before I finish telling you this story. When you get out there and you get alone... And them hormones and that flesh starts working. If you're not careful, you'll do something that you thought you'd never do. And all the verses of Scripture you memorized and all the say no slogans and little songs goes right out the window, buddy. Right out the window. And you forget everything you say, bless God, we'll get them in church and we'll teach them out. Listen, it's going to take more than that. And the only way you can be sure that you don't sin, unless you're a super duper duper strong person, is just don't get yourself in a position where it could happen. Other than that, there's very few people that won't fall. Very few. The Bible said the spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And you can't underestimate the power of that flesh. And that's why your mama is hard on you and wants to know where you're at. That's why. It ain't because she wants to make you miserable. Because we don't want you to get in trouble. And this girl went and had this abortion and she thought she'd come back to school and nobody'd never know the difference. The only problem was, it was in her mind. And she had that baby murdered. And then every time she went to the grocery store and see somebody holding a little baby and that little baby eating on its mama's neck, she thought, that could have been my baby. I wonder what my baby would have been. I wonder, would it had pretty blonde hair and kissed on my neck? Well, it so happened they did get married, him and her, and I think had another kid, and then they divorced, and then she married somebody else, and I don't know whatever happened to her, but her spiritual life went. You know why? She just got fooling around with the wrong boy. Oh, he's cute. He was cute. That's what she said anyway. To her, he was. But they're cute at first. But when you're sitting at home crying, and you don't know what's going to happen and your heart is broke, then you'd have wished you'd have waited on the right one that would treat you with some respect. If you got a boy that refuses to go to bed with you, you ought to thank God that he's a young man's got enough guts, enough God in him to say no. And the same way the girl. You say, well, he says if you love me, you would. That's a lie from a devil. You tell him if you love me, you wouldn't. Tell him that. If you love me, you wouldn't. And that's true. He don't love you, he loves himself. If he'll respect you enough not to do that, he might really love you. Amen. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, the last few weeks, 2 weeks, I've talked about the Ten Commandments for teenagers. Just in case you wasn't here, I'm going to run over them again real quick and then finish these. The first Sunday night, I talked about this. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. We had a great service that night when I talked about that. And I talked about respect for your mom and your dad. You should never talk back to your parents. You should never talk down to your parents. You should never talk bad about your parents to other people. They are your parents. You owe them respect. Amen? You may not always agree with them, but you are to respect. The Bible says it like this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And you're not in no position to drive no car, go out on no date, when you're acting like a little brat, back-talking your parents and your mom and dad. Say amen right there. And then I talked about the second commandment was, be smart and obey. You'll give orders yourself someday. It's not going to be long. You're going to be bus workers and bus drivers and Sunday school teachers and preachers and evangelists. So if you obey now, you'll reap that one of these days. I talked about number 3, stop and think and you won't drink. Drinking is one of the dumbest things that a young person ever done in their life. Amen, mamas and daddies? That's right. I preach the Bible teaches us that we are to leave alcohol alone, period. Not by the thimble, not by the glass, not by the cup, not by the drink, not mixed drink, not pina coladas with alcohol in them. No alcohol as a beverage is your best policy. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Nobody can handle it. It starts wrapping a string around you and it'll ruin your life. Make up your mind right now that you're never, ever going to drink alcohol. Ain't that right? Amen. Never, ever, ever. And if you have, ask God to forgive you and determine or not, you're never going to drink it again. Just remember this. Remember Brother Danny telling you this. You will never prosper drinking alcohol. It will always have a bad effect on you. You will always regret it. You will never be made better. You will always be made worse. It cannot help you. You hear me? It cannot help you. Drugs is the same way, of course. And we talked about that. And then last Sunday night, I talked about the next commandment was show off driving. Show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. When you finally get your license, don't get out here and act stupid with a car. A car, most of them weigh 3,000 to 4,000 pounds, maybe even more than that. Anywhere from along in that range, and you cannot take something weighing 3,500 pounds down the highway and play with it like a toy. It is not a toy. You are not in a video game. It is reality. It'll break every bone in your body. It'll break your neck. It'll cut your it'll splatter your guts on the highway. And a car is nothing to play with. You got to respect that vehicle when you get behind the wheel of that car. I talked a lot about that, and I talked about boys driving fast and girls driving dumb. And that's what happens a lot of times. Amen? And it's nothing personal, but you know, all girls are blonde when it comes to getting their license. Amen? That's right. Like them two blondes. You heard them two blondes? One of them's down there, and one of them is on one side of the pond, the other's on the other side of the pond. And she hollered, she said, "How do you get to the other side?" And the other one hollered back at her, and she said, "You're on the other side, stupid." That's the way a girl is. That's the way a girl is sometimes when it comes to a car. I'm just kidding with you. I got three of them here tonight. But I tell you what, boy, when it comes, I've had them say, "Now, what's this? What's this? Don't you, boom, you know, that's the gas. You know, what's this? Boom, that's the brake." So be careful. You're about them two blondes going down the road, and one of them said, "Look at that dog with one eye." And the other went, I guess. That's the way they are. That's the way they are. That's the way they are. I heard that one the other day, and I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but how did that joke go? It went like, you probably heard it, said these a blonde, somebody was talking, it was a 11 o'clock news or something like that, and they had a guy on there, and they said this guy, the news was filming him. He's going to jump off his bridge and commit suicide. He's going to jump off, and they said, "No, will he do it? Will he not do it? Will he do it? Will he not do it?" And one of them said, I'll bet you he does it. And the blonde said, "I bet you he don't either. They bet $20. I bet you he don't do it. So I bet you he does do it. I'll bet you he don't do it. I'll bet you he won't jump." And so they made the bet, and sure enough, guy jumped off and committed suicide. Said, "Okay, give me money. What made you so sure?" She said, "I can't figure that out." She said, I watched it at 10 o'clock, and he did it, but I didn't think he's stupid enough to do it again. That's you don't need to be driving no car. No. Show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. I told you how that a car, a size little car, about like a Honda Civic or a Toyota, a Camry, something like that, 100 miles an hour, weighs 27 pounds on the highway. 27 pounds. You're just kind of skipping down the road. Kill you. It'll kill you just like that. The highest rate of death among teenagers is car accidents. And suicide is right behind that. That's what kills young people. And drugs and so forth and so on. And then I talked about choose a date fit for a mate. You remember that? I talked about don't date nobody until you would not consider marrying. Don't say, "Lord, I ain't no way I'd marry him. I just go out with him because he's fun." Listen, y'all, some of y'all, you could do a whole... You don't have to take the first old greasy redneck that comes down the road and fall. People say, "But it's meant to be. I've never felt this way." All right, you can fall in love with any number of people. Whoever told you that there's only one right person in the world and that's the only person you're loving, that is not in the Bible. That is not true. There's any number of people that you can meet and fall in love with. Now, there is certain people that you meet together and stay together the rest of your life. That's great. That's the way God intended for it to be. But just because you feel goosebumps and just because you feel like, "Oh, this is the one," does not mean that's the one. I mean, you can feel that way about somebody else. Just don't think you can. You say, "But I can never, if I let him go, I'll never feel." That's junk. That's a bunch of bull. You can. Say amen, old people. That's right. And by the way, you can get over anybody, too. You say, "Well, I know he hates me, and I know he's mean to me, and I know he flirts with all the other girls, but I love him, I can't." Yeah, you can. You can get over it. You can get over it. You will get over it. And when you do get over it, you'll feel great. Feel like you got out of prison. It'll be a blessing to you. Amen. So, choose a date fit for a mate. And then I talked about don't go steady until you're ready. Remember that one? Don't go steady until you're ready. If you're wanting to clean up your room, and you ain't ready. If you won't respect your parents, you ain't ready. Don't go steady till you're ready. And I told you about all of that. Now, we're going to finish up tonight, and I've got one, three, four tonight, and we'll go through these quickly, and we'll be done, okay? Commandment number 7. We've got 7, 8, 9, 10 here tonight. Commandment number 7, if you're writing down, here it goes. You listening? Here we go. Ditch dirty thoughts first, or they will ditch you. Ditch dirty thoughts first, or they will ditch you. Young people, let me tell you something tonight. You are what you eat, they say. You are what you eat. You know, they say you are what you eat. If you eat certain foods, you eat hamburger and french fries and all, then that's what you are. Of course, that's, our body is made out of stuff that we eat. Now, spiritually tonight, you are what you take in. Your soul and your personality is what you take in. You take in things two ways. You take it in through the eyes. You take it in through the ears. You got to be careful what you let go in your eyes and what you let go in your ears. Now, I'm telling you tonight, ditch dirty thoughts or they will ditch you. You hear me? Ditch dirty thoughts or they will ditch you. I've had men 30 and 35 and 40 and 45 and 50 sit down in my office and say, Brother Danny, I need you to pray for me. And I say, what's wrong? And they'll say, I hate to admit this to you. I said, it's all right. You ain't going to tell me nothing I ain't heard before. They said, but I'm embarrassed to tell you what my problem is. And I said, it's okay. You ain't going to tell me. You ain't going to shock me. I about quit saying that because every time I say that, somebody does shock me. I said, you ain't going to tell me nothing I ain't heard before. And they say this. They'll say, Brother Danny, I can't control my thoughts. I cannot control my thoughts. All I think about is wicked, evil, ungodly stuff. They say, I work or I go to school. And they say, every woman that walks by, I can't even look at her without thinking something dirty. Everything I say, it's always something ungodly, something evil. And Brother Danny, what's wrong with me? Am I a pervert? Am I something wrong with me? What in the world is wrong with me? And I ask them, I say, well, what? And every time, every single time when we start talking, there's always, 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 always back yonder when in their childhood they got a hold of some dirty books or they got to watching dirty movies and that stuff got in their head. And once that stuff gets in your head, it never, ever leaves and you fight with it for the rest of your life. Now, I know y'all are afraid to say amen right there, and I understand, but it's the truth, and it's the truth, and I know it's the truth. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. That Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you think about it, and think about it, and think about it, it won't be long till you'll be doing it. And whatever you think about, you wind up doing. Say amen. You better ditch dirty thoughts. Ready to. Now, let me tell you something tonight. I'm not saying because you have dirty thoughts, you're not saved. God, in the day we're living in, brother, if you don't live in the Word of God, and if you don't pray, if in the day we're living in, Lord, they can't sell dog food without putting a naked woman on it. I mean, they can't have a toothpaste commercial without having somebody come up and do a sex dance. I'm telling you, brother, our society is eat up. You know it, and I know it. Our society is eat up like cancer with perverted sex. And brother, you hear me tonight. If you young people have one chance in this world, it is to get in every church service you can get in, saturate your mind in the Word of God, and let the Word of God cleanse you, and turn that TV off when the dirty stuff comes on there. Don't listen to rap music that talks about filth. That's only hope you've got. And if you listen to dirty music and watch dirty music, you're going to have a dirty mind, and you're going to commit dirty acts. That's right. Some of y'all getting a little nervous. Now you just hold your horses here a minute. I'm trying to keep some of these kids from ruining their lives. Pornography addiction is exactly the same as drug addiction. It can get a hold of you. It can get on your in your mind and in your heart where you think you've got to have it. You can't think of nothing else. You can't feel nothing else. And it'll pervert. Listen, you, some of you kids sitting right here this evening, your mind is already so perverted that it's doubtful you'll ever be able to join a natural relationship in marriage because your mind's so perverted, anything normal and natural probably will never be able to satisfy you. And that's sad. Amen. Ditch dirty thoughts or they'll ditch you. I'm not stupid. I know everybody in here has a fight with the devil and put dirty thoughts in your head. If there's a man in here said he ain't never had a dirty thought about a woman, don't come around me because you're probably a queer. Amen. Or you're a liar one. Say amen right there. Amen. God made you that way. It's natural. It's built in. It's you can have it. But I'm telling you what, brother, if we don't guard our minds, if we don't guard our eyes, if we don't guard our ears, you'll get so messed up that you won't be able to lead a normal life. Because all them dirty thoughts will ditch you. Listen, them serial killers down yonder, like old Ted Bundy, that wound up to, you know, and boy, it wound up killing them young boys, cutting their bodies open and eating their flesh. You know how that got started? It always starts with dirty thoughts. It always starts. You say, Lord, preacher, I'd never do nothing like that. I know a lot of people that said, I'd never do this, I'd never do that. When you take the first step, that's like saying, I'd never stand under that floor when I take this step. Oh, I'd never stand under that floor. And then I take another step. Oh, I'd never stand down there. You're headed that way. You may not wind up being a serial killer, but you're taking the same steps they took. I know curiosity killed the cat. I know, so you get on that internet like night, mom and daddy don't know it, or flipping them channels. And I know you say, well, I just want to see. I just want to see. I don't really want to live like that. I just want to see what they're doing. I just want to find out whether that curiosity is what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And listen, if you don't guard your mind, listen, if you don't guard your thoughts, if you don't guard it, ditch dirty thoughts or they'll ditch you. Amen. That's right. Amen. I hate to be so plain tonight, but I'm telling you, there's some stuff you ought not to be watching on TV. And here's where your parents come in tonight. You ought not say, well, they're going to see it anyway. Lord, you better not let them see everything they want to see on TV. I'm telling you, brother, you cannot. A young man, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, a young man cannot sit on what TV of a bunch of females painted up like a prostitute, twisting their bodies around, showing their flesh, and it not mess his mind up. It is impossible. You say, well, it don't bother me. You're a queer. Or you're a lying one. Don't you sit there and tell me you're lying, brother, or there's perverted one. I'm telling you, you cannot feed your mind on that stuff and it not mess your thoughts up. And that's why some of you can't think, like that's why some of y'all even sit in church and think the dirtiest thoughts you can imagine about the girls in here, because you done got your mind polluted. And the only way you can cleanse it is by the Word of God and reading this book. Jesus said, now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. You're washed in the water of the Word. Brother, I've got a dirty mind just like you do in my flesh. Say amen right there. We're all like that. The only hope we got is washing in the Word of God. Now you ladies, sit here and say, oh, what he's talking about is disgusting. Okay, you sit and watch him soap operas. A soap opera to a woman is the same thing as Playboy is to a man. Amen. Don't fuss your husband for looking at Playboy if you watch the soap operas. That went over like a lead balloon. You know why? Because women are naturally drawn to that stuff like, but darling, I must go. No, don't leave me. But I'm, oh, shut up, please. We're going, but to a woman, that's how the devil gets you girls. He plays on your emotion. He plays on your amen. I'm telling you, brother, you better listen. There's some times you better turn that TV off. You better learn to turn it off. Listen, them little old shows, them little old evening shows are nothing but suggestive little show putting in these little girls' minds. That's all I want to do is get him. And all I want to do is hug him. Hug him. And I want to, oh boy. And that's all I want to do, brother, if you sit around and watch that stuff all the time. Say amen right there. That's right. That's right. And your body gets ahead of your mind. And you want to get married too quick. Listen, brother. You say, I just want to get married. 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 What are you going to do the other 23 hours a day? Fussing and fighting. Or 23 and a half. Or 23 and 45 minutes. Say amen right there. Come on this evening. Come on, shiny light. Back me up. I'm telling you tonight, brother, if we don't learn, you say, Brother Danny, how are we going to help it? How are we going to help it, huh? Well, we're living in a filthy society. You've got to read your Bible every day. Every day and pray. Every day and pray. Every day and pray. Right. I've had adults ask me a lot of times, they say, what's wrong? Listen, I ain't trying to tell you married people nothing. Between you and God and your husband and wife, what you do. Anything don't hurt you spiritually or physically, between you and God. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're living in a day when the battle is right here. They ain't tying us up in rattlesnakes no more. They ain't letting dogs eat our guts and slicing our throats no more like they did in the dark ages. The battle is right here. Right here between your temples. Ditch dirty thoughts quick, or they will ditch you. And then I want to say this. Commandment number 8. Pick the right friend to be picked for a friend. Pick the right friend to be picked for a friend. I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it a million times, I reckon, to young people all over the United States. I have preached to literally thousands of teenagers and young people, and I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over. Whoever you run around with and hang around, that's who you're going to be like. It's a fact. It's a fact. Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you hang around people that do drugs, sooner or later, you're going to do drugs. You're not going to pull them up. They're going to pull you down. You're not going to pull them up. They're going to pull you down. You hear me? You say, well, I know he ain't much and everything, but I'm trying to help him. You ain't going to help him. He's going to pull you down. You're not going to help her. She's going to pull you down. Amen. Pick the right friends to be picked for a friend. You hear me? You say, but I know girls that got pregnant. And instead of going to their mother or their pastor or their Sunday school teacher, you know who they'll go to? Kids they go to school with. What makes you think them girls you go to school with got any more sense than you do? The great wise ones. What do you think I should do? Listen, they're as dumb as you are. Maybe more. They're going to say, have an abortion. You say, listen, go with me. You don't have to worry about your parents. Go with us Friday night. You think they're cool. You think they're trying to help you. Let me ask y'all something this evening. We got a big group of young people. Listen, folks. You know most churches tonight don't have a third of the young people we got here tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. And thank God they're not here. Most of them are here because they want to be. Very few of them are made to be here tonight. Most of them are here because they want to be. And that's good. Let me ask y'all kids something here tonight. How many of you have had somebody at school try to get you to go somewhere or do something or be a part of something that was wrong? Try to get you to do something wrong. Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. Now there's the one you don't want to hang around. There's boys in prison tonight. These boys sitting over there at the high rise tonight that said, well, I won't hang around them. These are my buddies. And they wound up and, listen, there's kids in hell tonight. Your age burning in hell because they run around that crowd and they're scared what their friend's going to say about it. But I ain't going to hell for them. Nobody else. They can laugh at me, call me old fogey, whatever they want to call me. You're like, they ain't going to help you. Time they get through with you, you'll be worse. You remind me of that fellow. They said two of them was riding down the road on a motorcycle. And they was flying down the road on a motorcycle. And it was real cold. And it's cold. One of them, the one on the back car, turned his jacket around. You know, and zipped it up the back like that so he'd stay a little bit warmer, leather jacket. And they was flying down the road a little bit. They hit a tree and killed that boy driving just like that. And they worked with the other, and finally got him to the hospital. They was both dead. And they asked him up there and said, well, what happened to them boys? He said, you know, the one that was driving a motorcycle, he was dead, DOA, dead on arrival, dead on impact. And they said, you know, that second fellow was alive, but he was dead the time we got his head turned around, right? They killed him. They was trying to help him. That's where your friends at school are. That's where your friends at school are. Amen? Yeah, the great wise ones are really going to help you. They'll come over to my house and we're going to party Friday night. Yeah, we know how that goes. Somebody overdoses, cops get called, somebody gets in trouble, somebody gets put on probation. Most of you have heard about the murder that we had in Marion this week of a 21-year-old girl. I heard about it from a girl who told me on the phone that I was in Ohio. And you know what? I don't know the situation. How terrible that is. How terrible. 17-year-old boy is now behind bars. 17! Just starting out his life. 17! Younger than some of you are sitting here tonight. And his life is ruined. Somewhere back there, that boy got the wrong crowd. He had the wrong influence. He thought that rapper was cool. He thought it was okay to kill or to steal money. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me? You hear me, boys and girls? Pick the right friend to be picked for a friend. I'd rather not have no friends. than to have to get drunk or smoke pot or do something wrong to have them. I'd rather not have them. Y'all listen to me? Nod your head. I'd rather not have them. You say, well, I'm just alone. I ain't got no friends. You're better off without no friends. You know what kills me? Young people will break their neck trying to please that crowd they go to school with. And 2 days after you graduate, you'll never see half that crowd again. They don't care about you. I don't even know what happened to most of the people I went to school with. I still see a few of them. But I broke my neck to impress some of them in 11th and 12th grade. That was stupid. It don't matter. It don't matter if you're popular. It don't matter if you win Miss McDowell or Miss Freedom or Miss Highbride. Who cares? Gives a big hoot, brother. Life's more important than that. Put your sights on something that's higher, things that are nobler. Stand for God, and you'll be better off as time goes by. Pick the right friends to be picked for a friend. I'll tell you what you need to do. Get in the youth group. Go to camp with us. Don't let nothing stop you from going to, with the camp and stuff like that. There's some of you who didn't go last year, and we had one of the greatest camps that I've been in. Probably in 8 or 9 years, and you missed it, and you can never go get it, what we got there last year. See, every time the group, the church does something, arrange your life so that you can be in on it, because one of these days, he's going to blow through here, and I will make sure I'm here when he does. Son, let me tell you something, the God of glory is going to just blow through this church one of these days. I mean, I know he's here, and I know, but you know what I'm talking about, big time. And I don't want my kids at home or at a ball game or at the movies or something when God blows through the church. Brother, when the Holy Ghost falls at camp, I want my kids at camp. Amen. It all depends on who you hang around. Let me say number 9. Love God and always go to church. Love God and always go to church. Don't let your friends, don't let your boyfriend, don't let your girlfriend, don't let a job. You've heard me preach that message on 3 things that get a teenager out of the will of God. And that's true, brother. I need to preach it again for the youth rally. And one of them is getting a job. I mean, it gets Sundays, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to get a job. Why do you want a job? I want money. Why do you want money? I want to get me a car. I want to buy me some clothes. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But you do not need a job. You listen to me? You parents can do what you want to, and I know sometimes it's have to, but I won't even let my girls get a job where they'd have to work on Sunday. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Church is more important. Say amen right there. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, and if yours do, that's between you and the Lord, and I'm not judging you, and I know sometimes people have to. My girl, one back there come to me before and said, Daddy, I want a job. And I said, well, if you can do it from 2 to 5 or something like that and put in part-time, but you're not going to get a job, it's going to keep you out of church. I said, here's what will happen. And I've been, listen. Y'all are one of my specialties. There's a lot of stuff I can't do, but I can do what I'm doing tonight. When I was up there in Ohio this week, there's a crowd of teenagers sitting at this table. Here's all these great men of God over here at the other table, fellowshipping and all of that, you know, and everything. I sat down there with them great men of God, and I just kind of felt weird. I felt like I'm scared to talk to these guys. And the teenager said, come here, Brother Danny. Sing Tom to Tell, Tom to Tell. I said, shh. They don't understand. But my heart was over there with them. It really was. It's always been like that. And some old preacher told me, they said, find out where your heart is, and that's what God wants you to do. And this is what God wants me to do. I'm as sure of it as I'm standing here. I know I can go to a strange church where I don't even know nobody. And by the end of the first, right, I'll have some teenage boys hang around me and make friends with them. God just give me that one little thing that I can do. And I've seen this over and over and over and over and over. Here she comes. She's, I don't know, 16. She comes up to me. Brother Danny! Brother Danny! Brother Danny! Guess what? What? I got a job! I say, oh, I thought you'd be happy. No, I'm not happy. Why? Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm going to have to work on Sundays, but it's at McDonald's. It ain't at Applebee's or somewhere. I won't have to serve no beer and ain't rock music. It's at McDonald's. I say, oh, gosh. She said, "But I thought you was happy." "No, not happy. I know what you're thinking, and I've already talked to my manager, and I told him I was a Christian, and he said I only have to work one Sunday morning a month and one Sunday night. That's all I have to ever do. Isn't that cool?" "No." "But why?" I say this, here's why. "Because that first weekend they're going to train you. And that second weekend they're going to train you. That's two Sundays out of church. That third weekend is your scheduled Sunday to work. That's three. The fourth weekend, the sinner girls got out and got drunk last night and they called in and didn't come in. So they called a good Christian girl because she didn't go out and get drunk. That's four. And you mark it down. There ain't nobody in here, including me, Brother Roy Lee, Brother Derek, Jason, any of us, they ain't none of us can stay out of church 4 weeks and not get backslid. Lord, I'm in church every day of the week, and it takes all I can do to stay right with God. I've been trying to get right today. Don't sit there and look at me like that. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're so far backslid, you don't even know you're backslid. At least I ain't backslid so much I don't know I'm backslid. At least I know where I'm at. Amen. You can't stay out of church for a month and not get full of the devil. Don't take a job where you're going to have to miss church like that. It ain't worth it. Ain't worth it. You've heard me tell that story before. I went to steakhouse. I was coming down through here like this, trying to figure out what I wanted. This girl says, "Can I help you, sir?" I say, "I ain't seen you in a while. Where you been, girl?" She said, "Hey, Brother Danny, how come you ain't been to church?" She said, "I have to work." Like, that makes it all right. Like, God's okay with that. And I said, "Why you got to work?" She said, "Because I have to pay for my car." I said, "Why you got to pay for your car?" "So I can get to work." Okay. Now look, sometimes I have to. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to throw no stones. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Listen, sometimes there's times when kids have to work to meet the bills, help mom out. I understand that. I'm not stupid. But if there's any way possible, fix your schedule around to where you don't have to miss the house of God. Love God and always go to church. And I'm going to tell you something else. You know, one of the best ways you kids can stay right with God? Get involved in the church. You say, "What can I do?" Some of the best bus workers in any church are young people. You're bubbly. You got a personality. You relate to kids good. People come up to you. They talk good to you. You can. Some of y'all kids here this evening could fill up a bus if you wouldn't just let the devil. You say, "Well, it's my only day to sleep." You can go home and sleep all Saturday evening. You can go home and sleep all Sunday evening. Listen, we need bus workers. Brother Mike over here. We're planning a big day for next Sunday. Big sunrise service. Big egg hunt. They could use some help. How about some of y'all coming out here? How about some of you adults? Listen, brother. Listen, get in the bus ministry. One of the greatest ways to stay around with God is get in the bus ministry. The bus ministry is the greatest tool and outreach arm that the Church of Jesus Christ has on earth in the United States. Ain't nothing like reaches people like our bus ministry does in this church or any other church in the United States. And you can do it. I mean, have you looked at some bus workers? Would you let your kids go with them? I'm just kidding. I mean, a big, strong man. And I thank God for our men. But listen, if some of you bright face, smile, teenagers could use your personality, you can get them kids, you can love on them. I've seen it over and over and over. Vicki, can I use you for an illustration? Thank you. When Vicki first came to New Manna, her and this girl named Pam, I can't remember Pam's last name. Cheryl, that's right. Her and this girl named Pam, I think there's 18. I think. And the story went like this. There's 18, 17, maybe 17. But anyway, when they really got right, they were around 18. And I've used this illustration to help kids. And y'all listen to me. Well, they come up to me one Sunday, and it was like some of y'all, if you really got right with God, sat up front, open their Bible, just eat every word. Just every word the preacher says, yeah. So they come up to me and they said, "Brother Danny, we want to do something. Brother Danny, we want to do something." I thought, well, oh my goodness, I mean, you know, what am I going to do? They can't teach the class. They just got church. I said, I tell you what, we got a van out there. And this old van, it just ain't much. And the old boy's driving it up. I believe Donnie McKinney was driving it, the inner brain. And there's about four people on it every Sunday. And I said, you girls, go out there and get some kids to ride that van. They said, okay. Took off out the door. And to be honest with you, I forgot about it. Tell you the truth, I forgot about it. The next Sunday come, I think the choir was coming in. They said, come here, preacher, come here. And I bent over like it, and they said, we had 16, we had 16. I said, 16 what? They said, we had 16 kids on the van. I said, you did? I said, cool, that's great, amen. They said, is that good? I said, amen, go after it, girls. They didn't know about the tribulation. They didn't know about the Antichrist. They just said, I want to do something. Listen, the best way to stay right with God is you get in that bus ministry and get a burden for these bus kids and all that. God will bless you. Amen. And buddy, I'll tell you what. The next Sunday, I believe it was next Sunday or two, they come in. They said, Brother Danny, come here. I said, what? They said, we had 32. I said, you had 32 people on that van? 15 passenger van, brother. Son, they was crammed in there like the Archies. I mean, they was going down, arms and legs sticking out, kids at the door like that. They said, is that good? I said, praise God! Just don't let the cops catch you. Amen! And listen, brother, I thank God for our men bus workers, our lady bus workers, but some of you teenagers, you want to do something for God? Get in the bus ministry! We use you Saturday morning. You could help them organize that egg hunt. You could get on fire for God. It's like this. If you just quit thinking about yourself all the time, and think, boy, I'm going to do something for God, then God's going to work everything else in your life. He'll send you the right mate. He'll work everything else. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your problem is you got it backwards. You want everything else first. You seek that first and forget that, and God will give you that. They said, we want a bus. We bought them a little old bus. It wasn't but about 3 weeks. They come in one Sunday and said, we had 53. I said, hallelujah, amen. Ain't nothing. Listen, some of you teenagers here, you meet here Saturday morning, get one of these ladies to drive you, go down there and help Brother Mike and Alicia. They're on that route by themselves. And Gay's got to be gone for 2 weeks, and Brother Mike's got to drive the bus too. So let's get with it, amen? Look, some of us are not as young as you are. I went and visited my gang that I had this morning. I brought 9 with me this morning, my forerunner, and appreciate all y'all that helped me buy them dinner. They loved it. We had a great time. Well, yesterday, bus workers sometimes realize some of the kids are getting slack. And to reach a kid, you either got to be one or think like one. Down on their level. I tell them, don't say, boy, come to church. Get down to where they're at like this so you can look them in the eye. And say, listen, buddy, I got one named Lee. Old Lee's about that high. I said, Lee, please come tomorrow. I miss you, buddy. And I could tell for the last few Saturdays that I just... You know, you bus workers know what I'm talking about. It's just like, well, yeah, maybe. And you know they're not going to come. So I said yesterday, all right, I'm going to spend some time with these kids. And I thought, I need to go home and study. But I thought, no, I need to spend some time with these kids. I said, all right, let's do something here. And they're having a birthday party, and here come one of them on a four-wheeler. And one of them come around here on a four-wheeler, and he said, you all right, preacher? I said, yeah. And so I hopped on the back of that thing with my back to his back. He was driving. He was about 13. And I hopped on the back of it like this, you know. It's got that little thing where you, like a little luggage rack on there, it's steel. And I hopped on there like this. And I said, all right, let's go. He'll boom, man. He took off flying. And they was loving it. They was laughing. There's 10 or 12 kids in the yard. They was And more we were going over hills and humps like this. And I got to thinking, what's this crazy nut wreck me? And flipped me over. And I said, now, sit down, boy! And he was flying up over humps and everything. And we was going up like that. And the mama went and got a camera. She come out like that. She's going to take my picture. And I said, okay, Lord, you know I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you, Lord. And boy, we got back safe and sound. And then I said, who wants to go to the mall? They said, we do. I said, let's go to the mall. Y'all know Nebo has a mall now? Yes, sir. No, it doesn't cheap about Nebo. Nebo has a mall. It's called Dollar General. It's nice, too. It's the Nebo Mall, amen. And jumped in the car, and I had Corey's car. If I'd had my 4Runner, I took about 12. But I had that Volkswagen, and some of them piled in. I said, now look, we're going to the mall, y'all. Everybody can spend $1. I ain't got much money on me. I said, everybody can buy something for $1. And son, they went in that store, boom, like that. They was coming here. One of them had a little pocketbook. One had some makeup. One had a ball coming out. It tickled them to death. And you know what? None of them got up this morning and come to the house of God. And we took them to eat today and got them.